Shall we pray? Father, we bless you and thank you for this time, Lord, that you have given us in the name of Jesus, our Lord. We come, Father, before you to hear your voice, Lord, to receive your word, and let your word, O God, speak deep into our hearts, bringing alive in us, O God, that inward witness, Father, that will stand before you in the name of Jesus, in the merits of the Lamb, by the Holy Spirit, Father. And we pray that in this witness, O God, that you are unveiling and building inside of each one of us, will unveil the reality of the ministry and calling that you have upon our lives. That we will learn to live in this witness, Father. And as we learn how to live through this witness, Father, we will surely die to our failings, O God, and our fleshly self, Father, and come alive to the fact that we are a people that you have chosen, a people you have saved, a people, O Lord, you have brought forth from out of darkness into your marvelous light. So let your word come forth this evening, Father. Let it come forth, O God, in resurrection power. Let it come forth within us with a conviction, with a confidence, Father, with a reality of the abundant promise, O God, that you have given us, O God, in your word. Let all things, O God, that are spoken at this time, Father, let them come forth in the name of Jesus. Let them come forth by the Holy Spirit. Let them come forth in the fulfillment of your will and your purpose. We thank you for this witness that we all have, Father. We thank you for this witness that is being perseveringly built inside of us in Christ Jesus by the Holy Spirit. We thank you for this witness in blood, water, and spirit, the witness of the cross. And we thank you, Lord, that each one of us is being built to function in this witness, Lord, so that we will be able to do all things through Christ who strengthens us, so that we will do all things that are right and pleasing to you, Father. So bless each one of us and bless all those who will hear this tape, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. This is part 2 of module 7. Module 7 is unveiling the witness of God. Unveiling the witness of God. And this is part 2 of unveiling the witness of God. We completed part 1 last week. And part 1 was the true and faithful witness. So today we are talking about describing the inward witness. Describing the inward witness. That's what it's called. And this will take a little while because we're going to spend some time on this. Because this is the heart of all that we are teaching in this ministry. The witness that God has given us. Let's first start with Revelation chapter 3, verse 14. And in Revelation chapter 3, verse 14, we find the Lord Jesus Christ speak in the middle of the verse these words. The Amen, the true and faithful witness, the beginning of the creation of God. And that's what we are talking about. Today we are going to talk about how this witness is open to each one of us, how this witness is going to be developed in each one of us, how this witness will make us one body, how this witness will enable us to function in God, so that in everything that we do, we will be able to function before the Lord our God. So let's turn to 1 John chapter 5, verse 10. 1 John chapter 5, verse 10. So the first part of 1 John chapter 5, verse 10 says this: the one who believes in the Son of God has the witness in himself. The one who believes in the Son of God has the witness in himself. And this witness is the witness that God has given us in the Lord Jesus Christ. Right when we started off this series of teachings, we said that when we look at the Word of God, we are listening to the witness of God. We are listening to the voice of God. We are listening to God's Word and the fulfillment potential of God's Word in each one of our lives and through all of our lives. So we started this whole school of ministry by talking about the fulfillment potentials of God's Word. That God's Word is not given to us as an intellectual proposition. God's Word is meant to become realized in our lives. It is meant to become a fulfilling reality. At the heart of this reality of fulfillment is this witness that God is in the process of developing in each one of us. When we were born again, God opened our inward parts to this witness. Right? Something opened inside of us that made us alive to God. And that was something very precious. Because what God opened to us at that time, Peter describes in 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 23 in the following words. Let's just read it. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 23. For you have been born again, not of seed which is perishable, but imperishable. That is through the living and abiding Word of God. Through the living and abiding Word of God. So the moment we were born again, God planted in us the seed of Christ. And the seed of Christ is the seed of the Word. And this Word opened inside of us in living and abiding terms. And suddenly we recognized who God was. Suddenly we came alive to God. Suddenly there were changes in our life. And we came alive to this reality of a witness within us. So fundamentally, when we talk about this true and faithful witness and its manifestation within us as an inward witness, we are talking about something that God opens to us through the Word. So you will understand that when we started this school, we started off by talking about revelation knowledge. And the reason why we talked about revelation knowledge is because this living and abiding Word of God is a revealed reality. It is not something that is of the status and stature of man. It is something that is of the provision of God. It is God providing us with something that we would never in ourselves be able to discover. So when we are born again, as we have done in the previous classes, we found out that we are born again by the Word that stands in accordance with who God is and all that God is. So the moment you are born again, God opens to you the Word of God in a living witness, right, that expresses His status as God. He is doing something inside of us that is entirely His workmanship. This is not about how smart you are or how smart I am. This is about what God can bring alive to our lives. And this is what happened when you were born again. So in this witness that God wants to develop in each one of us, develop in a total lifestyle, develop in a total conviction, develop in a total witness of confidence, develop, right, in power, develop in love, develop in character and nature. He means to unveil us as a brand new creation in Christ Jesus. Which is why in Revelation 3:14, Jesus says that He is the Amen, the true and faithful witness, the beginning of the creation of God. So in this witness, God is bringing inside of you everything He has desired to do in your life. And in this witness, all of God's Word becomes something practical to your life. God takes His Word and He starts using that Word to fashion inside of you a witness that will enable you to be His chosen vessel. And this is the key that you must understand, that in opening this inward witness to you, God has the purpose of establishing His ambition over your life. Because the Bible says that you are fearfully and wonderfully made. The Bible says that the sum total of God's thoughts over your life are vast. As we have done in earlier modules, we have said, it is one thing for you and me to have vast thoughts. It's a totally different ball game for God to have vast thoughts. And for God to have vast thoughts over each and every one of us means that He has got an awesome purpose for us. And the purpose of this witness is to realize that purpose. And this purpose is going to be a fully functional purpose. That we are creatures of destiny. That we are creatures of eternity. We are not just a passing phase of 70 years. Yes, our bodies are failing. But within us there is a soul and there is a spirit that God is in the process of developing. And He wants to develop that soul and that spirit in a living witness that He gave us through the cross. So this living witness is a witness in blood, water and spirit. So if you look at 1 John chapter 5 verse 8, you will find that there are three that bear witness on earth. And the three that bear witness on earth are called blood, water and spirit. There are three that bear witness on earth. The spirit and the water and the blood, and the three are in agreement. Praise the Lord. So spirit, water and blood are the witness of the cross. Because when Jesus gave his life and the cross, he surrendered his spirit to the Father. When the Roman soldier pierced him, out flowed blood and water. The Apostle John in 1 John chapter 5 verse 8 takes those three spiritual expressions and says that they are a witness that stands before God. So in 1 John chapter 5 verse 7 it says that there are three that bear witness in heaven. The Father, the Word and the Holy Spirit. And these three are one. And there are three that bear witness on earth. The Spirit, water and blood. And these three are one. So the witness from the cross is a witness in spirit, water and blood. The witness of God is a witness of the Father, the Word and the Holy Spirit. And the witness of the cross stands before the witness of the Father. Witness of God. And that witness of blood, water and spirit is alive inside of you. And that reality was manifested inside of you the moment you were born again. Which is why when the moment you are born again, you know who Jesus is. You know that God is real. You know that you have a new life. You know that God has opened you to something spectacular, something different. You have realized a reality that is not of the systems of the world. You have realized a reality that is a God-given provision within you. And God means to develop that provision into an entire lifestyle. And as he develops this witness inside of you, he's going to equip you with wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. He's going to equip you with strength. He's going to equip you in the truth. He's going to equip you with life. He's going to equip you in his grace. He's going to equip you in faith. He's going to equip you with a character and a nature. He's going to equip you in the fullness of Jesus Christ so that you will be a new creation. And all these are realities that you can receive and realize within yourself as you learn how to walk with God. So your Christian faith is not just a belief. Your Christian faith is a reality that has an evidence. And that evidence is meant to be manifested inside of you. This is not a bluff. This is not some religious mumbo jumbo. This is the reality of what God has for you personally. It is your duty to receive and realize what God has for you. It is your duty to receive and realize your destiny in the Lord Jesus Christ. It is for you to receive it. It has been already given to you. So you remember John 1:16, right? Of his fullness we have all received, and grace upon grace. John 1:17. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ. So what is realized manifests inside of you as a witness. Praise the Lord. Now what we are talking about is a word-defined reality. We are not talking about something that is entirely experiential in nature. The word gives definition to this witness. And we need to understand that very clearly. That this is not just based on airy-fairy human emotions. This is a reality that God has to define in us in the truth. This is a reality that God has to manifest inside of us in Christ Jesus through his spirit and his life. He has to establish this witness in the faith of Jesus. He has to fulfill this witness within us in the love of Jesus. He's got to develop this witness in the character and nature of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's got to manifest this witness as a living expression of the testimony of Jesus that you have received and realized. Now this becomes your functional witness. When we talk about moving by the Holy Spirit, when we talk about operating gifts, when we talk about functioning in anointings, it all has to unveil through this witness. And if we develop our callings, our giftings in this witness, we will turn out to be servants of the living God. We will not betray the master. Because as you learn how to function in this witness, you will realize that you can only function in this witness as you submit yourself to God. You cannot go out and do your own thing. And in Christian history, we have done a lot of things as our own. And we've made bad mistakes. And we need to understand that God wants to rectify all of this and establish us in the truth. And the only way he can establish us in the truth is to develop this whole witness in us Right? In the reality of blood, water and spirit. So truth comes to us in the testimony of Jesus. And that testimony of Jesus becomes a living witness inside of us. And it enables us to receive and realize a life and character and nature, a faith and a love that is entirely true. It will take time, but it will surely come forth, because this is the work of God. So let's go back to the book of Deuteronomy to start off with. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 14 and 15. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 14 and 15. We just earlier said that the reality of this witness came alive in us when God released the seed of His word inside of us. That living and abiding seed of the word. That word that is the seed of Christ. And in that moment of time, we were born again. Right? But in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 14 and 15, God defines the word of God as a witness. Let's read it. Let's read for context from verse 11. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 11. For this commandment which I command you today is not too difficult for you, nor is it out of reach. Notice the language. This is a commandment. This is part and parcel of God's law. All right? It is not in heaven that you should say, who will go up to heaven for us to get it for us and make us hear it that we may observe it. Right? So you don't have to go up to heaven to try and grab something. Right? That is of God. Right? Nor is it beyond the sea that you should say, who will cross the sea for us to get it for us and make us hear it that we may observe it. So it is not somewhere else far away from you either. So verse 14 says, but the word is very near you, in your mouth and in your heart, that you may observe it. So the word of God is in your mouth and in your heart. And God is immediately in these words defining a witness. And this is what you must understand about the word of God. That the word of God has got no meaning to the Christian until it becomes a witness in him. A witness manifested in his mouth and in his heart. So he says, this word, you don't have to go to heaven to catch it, neither do you have to go far away to find it. Behold, the word of God is in your mouth and in your heart. So you need to understand this, right? So God is in this statement already implying of a witness. In the Old Testament, of course, people did not really realize this idea of a witness. But in the New Testament, we are a people who are called to understand fundamentally that the moment the Word of God is released into us, it unveils as a witness. Praise the Lord. And so you must understand that as God gives you the Word must be developed into a witness. You have to learn how to pray the Word. You have to learn how to worship God in the Word. You have to learn how to counsel people in the Word. You have to learn how to speak the Word in every situation and circumstance. It's a skill. Learning that is something that God has to build inside of you, teach you to do that. Teach you to speak words that are consistent with God's Word. Teach you to bring out realities that are consistent with His Word. Realities that are consistent with the character and nature of the Lord Jesus Christ. Realities that are of the Spirit of God. Realities that are life-giving. Now all this is part and parcel of God's Word. So this Word of God that God wants to give you, this Word of God that God wants to develop inside of you in revelation knowledge, ultimately it has to stand as a witness in your mouth and in your heart. And you will find that the hardest thing for a Christian to do is to do that. Now we can go into a secular university, sit down and do a secular course, and we will have no problems talking about it. But the moment we start talking about God's Word, you begin to find that there is something called fear that comes in. Is this real? Is this for me? Am I good enough? Right? This is where you realize that when it comes to the Word of God, there is something called spiritual warfare. Right? There are spiritual forces that don't want you to realize this reality. Alright? So you find that most Christians have yet to discover what this witness is all about. How to come forth and function in this witness by the Spirit in Christ Jesus. So here, God tells us in Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 15, He says, "See, I have set before you today life and prosperity, and death and adversity." And God is saying, if you can bring out the word with your mouth and it stands in your heart, you will have life and prosperity. And God is not just talking about bank accounts. God is talking about life and prosperity, the ability to live life in a character that will cause you to be a blessing to others. To have a nature that will bring life to others. To have a nature that is consistent with the nature of God. Now, all this God has to bring inside of you. And He means to bring it inside of you through His Word. So you need to understand right off the bat that the Word of God is more practical to you than anything else. Because in the Word of God, God means to fashion you. He means to make you a chosen vessel. He means to prosper you. He means to manifest a newness of life. He means to bring forth from you an abundance. It is your duty as a Christian to realize this abundance that God wants to bring into your life. It is your duty. It is your responsibility. Because the world needs to know and understand that there is a salvation that is real and tangible. It is not some religious gobbledygook. Right? It is the truth that sets people free. It actually changes human lives. It actually brings healing into the human person. It actually transforms human relationships. It actually transforms human character, human thought forms, human lifestyles. It transforms the desires of the human heart. It transforms the thought forms of the human being. It brings out a new creation. And people have to see it. And the only people who can bring forth the evidence of this are we who call ourselves sons of God. But unfortunately, so many of us, the moment we are born again, we are happy, we are saved, we are going to heaven. And the world sees us as being carnal like them. That's the sad part, because so many of us are not willing to pursue the things of God. We just want God to bless us like Santa Claus. We are not willing to receive and realize the abundance of the heart of God. We do not want to receive and realize the responsibilities of being life bearers, of being proclaimers of the truth, of being a blessing to a world that is dying, of being a blessing in the world that is being overcome by hate and anger and lust and greed and every other kind of sexual perversion. And we need to understand that it is your duty and my duty to unfold a witness that says Jesus lives, that God is real, that God is the answer. It is not going to be something easy, but it is going to be something that will be a blessing. It will make us realize that we can have a useful life, a wonderful life, an awesome destiny. So right off the bat, God is telling you that the Word of God has got no meaning to you until it becomes a witness. So when we talk about the true and faithful witness, unveiling in us in blood, water, and spirit, we are talking the Word. So this true and faithful witness that brings, that unveils in us in blood, water, and spirit, unveils in a reality of the Word that is called the Word of the Cross. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. I'm reading from the New American Standard. "For the word of the cross is to those who are perishing foolishness, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." So God tells us right off the bat that this witness is meant to be a witness in power. So the word of the cross translates into a living witness that is meant to live in your mouth and in your heart. And the purpose of this witness is to manifest the power of God. The Greek word for power there is dunamis. And that's the word that is applied to the power that was invested in Jesus Christ when God raised him from the dead. Dunamis power. In Ephesians chapter 1 verse 19, this power is described as the surpassing greatness of his power towards us who believe. The surpassing greatness of his power. The power that is above every other kind of power. the power that is above the power of organization, the power that is above the power of government, the power that is above the power of the occult, the power that is above the power of witchcraft and sorcery, the power that stands entirely in the name of Jesus Christ. In Hebrews chapter 1 verse 3, it is said that Jesus Christ upholds all things by the rhema word of his power. Rhema meaning the quickened word. The word that comes alive in you in a witness. And that rhema word is described as the spirit and life of Jesus Christ in John 6:63. And that spirit and life of Jesus Christ is invested with this power. And this power is meant to come alive in us in a witness. So that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. So where does Christ strengthen us? In this witness. In Galatians chapter 4 verse 19, Paul writes, I labor with you until Christ is formed in you. How is Christ formed in you? Christ is formed in you in this witness. This witness has substance to it. It has form to it. Spiritual form. And this witness, right? This witness is meant to manifest the power of the living God given to you in Christ Jesus. Remember that this resurrection power does not exist outside of Jesus Christ. If Jesus Christ is not your Lord, this resurrection power you cannot receive and realize. So if you try and move in this realm without a cognizance of who Jesus Christ is, without a recognition of who Jesus Christ is, you will walk into the occult realm. And if you walk into the occult realm, you will lose your life one day. So it's very important you understand this, that this witness stands in the name of Jesus Christ, and don't play games with it. That power God has given you comes with responsibility and obligation. And the responsibility and obligation is that you use it for the glory of God. You never use it to build your own kingdom. You use it to build the kingdom of God. You use it to lift up on high the name of God. You use it to testify of Jesus. You use it to function by the Holy Spirit. It's never to be used except for God's glory. You must understand this. Because if you don't understand this, then you will walk into what ultimately becomes blasphemy. So we need to understand right off the bat that this is something very, very important. All right? Let me just read to you one verse that warns us of this. Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 10. Verse 26. For if we go on sinning willfully after receiving the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sin. I will read that again. For if we go on sinning willfully after receiving the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins. The knowledge of truth here is talking about is revelation knowledge. The word that is revealed to you by God. The word that is brought into you as a witness. And that word lives in you. And he's saying, if you go on sinning willfully, what does it mean to sin willfully? To deliberately misuse the word of God. To deliberately misuse the word of God for your own purposes, for your own ends. Then he's saying that if you keep on doing that, right, then there will no longer be a salvation available to you. All right? I don't want you to get scared about this. What you need to understand is that you just need to grow giving the glory to the Lord. You need to understand that what God is bequeathing to you in this witness is very sacred to God. It is meant to be a blessing to the people of the world. It's meant to be a blessing to them. It is meant to bring them into the salvation of God. It is meant to minister life to them. And if you misuse it, you're going to use what God gave for life to manifest death. And surely God should get angry with that. Right? Makes sense. Right? So he says, but a certain terrifying, verse 27. I read from verse 26. There no longer remains a sacrifice of sins, but a certain terrifying expectation of judgment. Verse 28, anyone who has set aside the law of Moses dies without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. How much severer punishment do you think he will deserve who has trampled underfoot the Son of God and has regarded as unclean the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified and has insulted the Spirit of grace? All right? So as we talk about developing this witness, we just need to understand that this witness stands in what Jesus did for us through the cross. It didn't simply come. Jesus actually suffered for it. And you have received it, and I have received it free of charge. We didn't have to stand on our heads, balance on a finger to receive it. We just had to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and this witness was open to us. Right? We just had to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, and we suddenly realized that we had a functional witness inside of us. And so we must understand that this witness in blood, water, and spirit, if we misuse it, it means we are really trampling underfoot the Lord Jesus Christ. So we need to establish the governing conditions in which God has given us this inward witness. Praise the Lord. So when you see the signs and wonders taking place somewhere along in your ministry, it will come. As you pursue this witness, you need to understand that there is one name that must be glorified, and that is not your name, it is not my name, it is the name of Jesus. That you must understand very clearly. Alright? And you must function by the Holy Spirit. You cannot function by some other kind of spirit. So it is your responsibility to make sure that what is manifested in your witness has got a character that is consistent with the Lord Jesus Christ. That you are being fashioned and formed in His image. Alright, so these are things you are responsible to check. Right? So the fruit of the Holy Spirit is a manifestation of character. And the fruit of the Holy Spirit is love, peace, joy, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. All this are part and parcel of your witness. You can check it. Right? So watch it when you become condemnatory over other people. Right? God didn't give us this so that we can be in judgment. God gave us this so that we can bless people and tell them the truth that will set them free. Very important to know these things. Alright? There is no doubt we will make mistakes. Making mistakes is not a problem. Deliberately doing something over and over again, that's a problem. Alright? So, I don't want you to get scared and say, oh my goodness, this is too dangerous for me. No, this is meant for you. This is your destiny. But what you must understand is that this is very precious to God. Right? Now, in this witness, you begin to develop an intimacy with God. As this witness begins to grow inside of you, you will come alive to God. You will begin to know who God is. You will begin to know the heart of God. You will begin to know the presence of God. You will begin to know the fact that God is using you. That you will begin to become very, very much alive to the presence of God on an online basis. At the speed of thought, guys, this is very exciting. To be alive to God on an online basis, at the speed of thought, fascinating. You can have no greater purpose. You cannot even invent a greater purpose for yourself than this. But you need to understand that all this stands in the merits of the Lord Jesus Christ. All this stands by the Spirit of God. All this stands to the Father's glory. So that's why when the Lord Jesus talked about the Lord's Prayer, He said, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Now, hallowed be thy name is meant to become your witness. And He's telling you that it is very important that you see this witness hallowing the name of God. If your witness is not hallowing the name of God, something has gone wrong. Right? So that's why, one of the reasons why we stress worship in this ministry. Right? Because you have to learn how to worship God. You have to recognize God as God in your own witness. You have to treasure God as being God, the sovereign God, in your own witness. Now, this is something you have to ask God for. Because it does not come to you naturally, it does not come to me naturally. Because we are rebellious in our nature. So God has to do a work inside of us. which is why this witness is built on the fullness of Jesus Christ. Because in the fullness of Jesus Christ, the character and nature of Jesus Christ is brought inside of you. And when you receive and realize the character and nature of the Lord Jesus Christ, you will automatically glorify your Father. You will begin to see it come alive to you naturally. And it's the most natural thing in the world to come alive to worshiping God. In fact, you will enjoy worshiping God. Hello. Do you realize that all this cannot work if you don't enjoy it? Hello. That's why the fruit of the Holy Spirit is love, peace, joy. Right? Because God is saying if you don't have love and you don't have peace and you don't have joy, nothing in your life is ever going to work. Why do you want to do something if it does not manifest in you with love, peace and joy? You are a nut or something. Why would you want to do something you don't enjoy? Why would you want to do something that does not give you peace and satisfaction? Why would you want to do something that does not build you in love and know that you have a living relationship with the living God? So it's very important for you to understand, right? That's why God by law demands that you shall love me with all of your heart, soul, mind and strength. Why does He make that demand? He makes that demand to tell us that that is the direction in which we must see ourselves growing. So the law has been fulfilled in Christ Jesus. Jesus fulfilled the reality of loving God with all of His heart, soul, mind and strength. We receive that reality. We receive that reality as the word of God is communicated into us in a witness. As the witness is built inside of us, the character and nature of that witness also comes alive in us. And when the character and nature of Jesus Christ comes alive in you, guaranteed you will change. We have all changed. From selfish so-and-sos and prideful so-and-sos, we have changed. I mean, we haven't changed completely, but there have been dramatic changes in all of our lives. And God is continuing to work those changes inside of us. And we must absolutely understand that those changes are crucial to our lives. They are a matter of life and death. Are you listening? And you have to understand that and move towards that in your daily walk with the Lord. As you build this witness, you must pray and ask God to guard this witness and to build His witness so that you will come to love Him, you will come to serve Him, you will come to honor Him, you will come to worship Him, you will come to obey Him, you will come to do what He wants you to do. And if you see other things come alive in your witness, for we are all naturally disobedient, we are all naturally rebellious, we are all naturally prideful. It's our fallen nature. So when we see those things come alive, we need to take it to the Lord and say, Lord, this must be dealt with. Lord, can you deal with it? And you have to do it on a daily basis. You have to do it on an online basis. When you see lust come alive in your heart, you have to take it to the Lord and say, Lord, this lust has to go. So necessary for us to talk to God on these kind of terms. Online basis. You need to understand that God hears you online. Right? In the same way, you are alive to God online. You may have not developed the capacity to walk in that reality all the time, tangibly, but it's there. It just hasn't been built and brought forth yet. But all of us are meant ultimately to be able to be alive to God 24 hours of the day, in conscious, subconscious and unconscious terms, in spirit, soul and body, in heart and in mind. So when the law of God demands that you shall love me with all of your heart, soul, mind and strength, God is talking about developing a witness in love within you that will honor God above all other things. And as you honor God in this witness, you will begin to see other things in a different perspective. So when the Bible demands that you shall love your neighbor as yourself, that will only happen as you love God. As you come alive to God. As you come alive to God, you will begin to see that you will need to find the love that will be able to relate to your neighbor. And your neighbor may be a very difficult person. Hello. Your spouse can be a very difficult person. Your children can be a very difficult people. Right? The people you work with in your office, the people you work with as your colleagues can be very difficult people. But God says,
When you face the difficulty, then you have to find me. Because I am the solution, God is saying. My nature will enable you to overcome the nature of difficult people around you. If you keep trying to handle it by the law, trying to overcome it in your good intentions, good luck to you. All you will find is that you will succeed for 1 week, and then the next week all your holy intentions just went down the toilet. Right? Because you just blew your top. Right? So things have to be built in the character and nature of the Lord Jesus Christ. If things are not built in the character and nature of the Lord Jesus Christ, they won't stand. Our whole life testifies to that. Hello. How many times have we had the good intention that we are going to do something? How many times have you made New Year resolutions about how you, this year is going to be different from all other years? And how long has it lasted? A week? Sometimes not even a day. Maybe 2 months, maybe 3 months, maybe 6 months. Maybe you're a guy of remarkable willpower, so you make it last for a year, 2 years, 3 years, and then one day you decide, oh my goodness, this is all too difficult. Yeah? So we need to understand that anything that is not built in the name of Jesus, anything that is not built in the character and nature of the Lord Jesus Christ, within the witness of your own being, it ain't gonna last, guys. That's why Jesus said, I am the Amen, the true and faithful witness, the beginning of the creation of God. So in bringing this witness within you, God is creating you. God is enabling you to become what you will never become in your own strength. And this is what you must understand, that this witness and the character and nature and the desires and the thoughts and whatever else that goes with this witness is all the workmanship of God. He's actually manifesting an awesome, humongous creation. And you are that creation. In that creation, He is fashioning you in Christ Jesus by the Holy Spirit as a unique instrument of the living God. And you've got to appreciate that. You've got to see the possibilities of that. You've got to see the greatness of God's heart in all of that. And understand that God is talking about you. And God is talking about doing great things in your life. You must immediately understand this is all the work of God. Which is why Ephesians 2:10 says that you are the workmanship of God, created in Christ Jesus for good works. Created in Christ Jesus. You are the workmanship of God. If you don't get into the way, right? Let God be God. Stop trying to play God in your life. You are not God. You will never become God. Let God be God, and let God build you. Let God develop you. Let God fashion and form you. Yes, sometimes it is painful. Why is it painful? Because when you start dealing with things you want to hold on to that are wrong, it is very painful when you have to give them up. But why do you want to keep something that is a curse? Because sin is always a curse. Sin brings death and destruction into your life. Sin brings disease into your life. Sin brings sickness into your life. Why do you want to keep this stuff? Throw it out. All right? But the only person who can take it out and throw it out is God. And this is what you must understand. When you read the Bible, that's why God gave the law, to teach people that they cannot live by a law. They cannot live in their own good intentions. So if you look at the Old Testament, it was just God trying to teach us a lesson. And the lesson is this: you cannot live by your good intentions. So in the New Testament, God gives us Jesus Christ, and He says, now I will make my Son alive in you, and through Him you will learn to live a new life. In His character and His nature, you will have a desire to do things you never thought you wanted to do before. Right? It's very important to understand that. This is what grace is all about. Realizing the ability to do things that are impossible for you to do. Doing things that are impossible for you to do. Right? It is when you start doing things that you could never have done that you begin to realize, oh my goodness, this is God. And suddenly you realize, I have my wisdom and I have the potentials of God's wisdom. Which do I want? And when you begin to see what God's wisdom can achieve, and then you begin to realize how small your wisdom is, you will make the exchange. And it's no big deal to make the exchange. Praise the Lord. You know, in the Old Testament, you find David. King David was a shepherd boy, right? God gave him the plans for an architectural monument that was the temple that Solomon built. The Bible says that David received all of those drawings for the temple. He also made the provisions for the building of that temple. And out of his own pocket, David gave $22 billion worth of wealth. Out of his own pocket. And when David prays, he says, Father, you gave this all to me. And what I'm giving, I'm just giving what you gave me. Amazing. How did he speak words like that? That is because he came to know the heart of God. And this is what you must understand. That if you also come to know the heart of God, you will be a very different person. You will have different desires. You will have different thoughts. You will have different attitudes. You will have a different way of living. You will do all things differently. And when you do these things, you will realize this is the impact of God on my life. And the impact of God on your life is a living witness. And this witness is awesome. Praise the Lord. So today you have talked about this witness, and you must understand that this witness is built through the Word of God. So when we talk about revelation knowledge, the revelation knowledge ultimately must translate to a witness in your mouth and in your heart. We must become a heart people, not a mind people. In the Bible, the mind is a secondary thought form. The primary thought form for a human being before God is heart. Your mind is just a supporting system that discerns what is happening. That recognizes thought forms. But the real functioning heart of all things is the heart that God wants to give you. That's why he says, you shall love me with all your heart. And then he talks about your soul. And then he talks about your mind. Then he talks about your strength. But if the heart does not find God, the soul will never see God. If the heart does not find God, the mind will never think God. Amen. So you need to understand that through this heart, God wants to build a witness. And this witness stands in your mouth and in your heart. Praise the Lord. Okay. In ministry, God wants you to function in this reality. Let's turn to 2 Timothy. chapter 4, verse 14. This is what Paul writes to Timothy. Do not neglect the spiritual gift within you, which was bestowed upon you through prophetic utterance. All right? I want to stop with that word, prophetic utterance. We are a prophetic people. The witness inside of you is naturally prophetic. Right? And when you speak the prophetic, it bestows into somebody something that is of God. Amen. Can you catch the picture? So you communicate this witness through your mouth. But it's very important that you understand that the roots of this witness must be built in your heart. So when you speak the right words, they manifest life into somebody else. That's ministry. Right? Which is why Paul talks about when you function in the gifts. He says, seek to prophesy. Seek to speak the word that will build somebody else up. And he said, the word must exhort, the word must build. Why is he saying that? Because that is the training for you to be a minister, a vessel of the Lord, a blessing to the nations. Praise the Lord. So you have to learn how to kill the wrong witness. Speaking the wrong words, speaking in envy, speaking in pridefulness, speaking in anger, speaking in condemnation, speaking out of vindictiveness, speaking with vengeful thoughts. All those kind of speech forms have to die. And you have to learn how to speak the truth. You have to learn how to speak in love. You have to learn how to speak words that build. You have to learn how to speak words that bless. You have to learn how to speak words that encourage. Right? You have to learn how to speak words that are the truth that will set somebody free. You have to learn how to speak firmly yet kindly. You have to learn how to speak with no hidden agendas inside of you. You know, some people say something and mean something else. That kind of crookedness you should not have, because that is the nature of the snake. And you don't want to be an anointed snake. You want to be an anointed vessel of the Lord, speaking the things of God. So you have to make those choices every day, and you can practice every day. So before you decide to quarrel with your wife, just pause that moment and say, "Oh Lord, if I get into this quarrel, I'm functioning in the wrong witness. Hello, I'm setting myself backwards, so let me just pass this opportunity to quarrel and find the opportunity and the strength to speak the right words." Making sense? Right? So important. So in Colossians chapter 3 verse 17 it said that you and I must learn to do all things in word and deed in the name of the Lord Jesus. Giving thanks to God the Father. That is the witness that God wants. Learning to do all things in word and in deed in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to the Father. So your witness must be a thankful witness, a witness of gratitude. Now all this can only come out of the nature and character of Jesus Christ. Don't try and practice this in your own fleshly zeal. It won't work. The only way you can function the way God wants you to function is if you receive and realize of the fullness of Jesus Christ. Amen. Remember, Jesus is the Word. So when you read the Word of God, when you understand the Word of God, you have to see it in the character, nature, and witness of Jesus Christ. Otherwise, you are not understanding the Word of God the right way. Praise the Lord. So receive the Word of God in the testimony of Jesus, and then it will bring into you the nature and character of Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord, and it will build inside of you an awesome reality. You will change. And it's so wonderful to change. It's so wonderful to not get worked up over silly things. It is so wonderful to give up the pride and realize the humility. Hello. To realize, give up the anger and realize the joy. Right? Hello. To give up the envy and realize the ability to bless somebody. You know, it brings into you a gladness, a feeling of usefulness, a feeling of being satisfied. And that kind of thing money cannot buy, guys. And that is the wealth of God. To be able to be a blessing in every situation and circumstance. See, your destiny in the scriptures is to ultimately unveil as a morning star. To unveil as a blessing to nations. That's God's ambition over your life. You are called to be a son unto God. To shine with the glory of the living God. That's awesome. So think about it and choose to communicate and function in the witness that God has given you in your salvation. You know, when we did all of those Levitical sacrifices, what were they pointing to? They were pointing to how Jesus could be manifested from the altar of your heart. And the altar of your heart is a living witness. And the altar of your heart manifests a fragrance of Jesus Christ, the knowledge of Him. Praise the Lord. And as you, in Holy Communion, what do we celebrate? Remember me, says the Lord Jesus. Why remember me? Because that is the key to your being able to stand in a position before God. Remembering Jesus Christ is a reality that is in a witness. And as that witness is built, you stand in authority. The authority will just come by itself. You don't have to go chasing after it. You don't have to put a knife into somebody's back to get something. Hello. You don't have to compete with somebody else to try and get it. It's available to you free of charge. All you have to do is have the patience to let God be God in your life. Let Him provide for you. Let Him build you. Let Him fashion you. Let Him correct you. Let Him mold you. And if you can understand the necessity for this process to work inside of you, you will be a blessing. And you will come to enjoy your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because the evidence of it will be awesome. That's why the prophet Isaiah said when Jesus comes, His first reality will be wonderful. Amen? Praise the Lord. If you're not discovering Jesus to be wonderful, you don't know Him. Amen. Praise the Lord. Shall we pray? Father, we bless You that You have building in us a witness. It's a witness that Jesus suffered and died for, Father. It is a witness that He was raised in resurrection power to unveil, Father. And the Holy Spirit is in the process of manifesting the witness of Jesus Christ within us. And this is a witness that is true and faithful. This is a witness that is called Your Amen. This is the witness that is meant to unveil us as a new creation, Father. This is the witness that unveils in blood, water, and spirit. And suddenly we realize that Jesus' sacrifice on the cross is something that is so real to us, Lord, so practical to us, Lord, so very, very, very much a part of our being. It is, in fact, the very essence of our creation in Christ, Lord. So we want to thank You for persevering to build this witness within us, Father, by the Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name. We want to give You glory and honor, worship and praise. Thank You, Father. Thank You for the kind intentions of Your will. Thank You for the counsels of Your will. Thank You that in the unveiling of the mystery of Christ, the mystery of Your will becomes fulfilled in each one of us. So bless the church, O Lord, across the world and in the heavenly places. Bless us that we may unveil the treasure of Jesus Christ and become the blessing that You want us to become. In Jesus' name, amen.